Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Greetings, or may I say Bojo and Potawatomi, to those joining us for today's Indigenous Perspectives show. I'm Randy Kritkowski, an enrolled Potawatomi tribal member and the co-host of Indigenous Perspectives.
And I'm Carolyn Schmidt, the other co-host.
We are physically on the unceded land of our other-than-human kin, the winged ones, the rooted ones, the four-legged ones, the mountains and the rivers, who have been present on Turtle Island and have been partners and caretakers for countless millennia. They have been here long before the two-legged arrived, before the indigenous peoples who came over the Beringian land bridge from Asia more than 15,000 years ago, and long, long before the European two-legged arrived more recently.
We also acknowledge that the place where we are right now is part of the traditional unceded lands of the Ganiekehaka Mohawk peoples, part of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy. There is also a strong historic presence of Anishinaabe peoples in what is now known as the Greater Montreal Area, where we are at this moment. Jaujonque, its Mohawk name, Muniyang, its Anishinaabe name, or Montreal, has also long been and continues to be a gathering place for many First Peoples from all directions. We have a heightened awareness of Montreal Muniyang as a gathering place today because our guest for today's show, who is also in Montreal right now, is Hong Chongji, also known as Aya Demaladas. She is an indigenous scholar from the Gasabagan community of the Pinuyunumayan tribe in Taiwan. Aya is a PhD candidate at the School of Religious Studies at McGill University. She specifically focuses on gender and women's studies. Aya's research interests revolve around exploring the relationships between the life and spirituality of indigenous women, indigenous traditional practices, and Christianity. Growing up in a colonial context where indigenous peoples have been forced to assimilate, Aya's commitment is to reconstruct the distorted indigenous cosmology and restore the sacred nature of indigenous women. To achieve this, she dedicates herself to drawing upon the lived experiences of indigenous Taiwanese, revisiting current indigenous discourses, and exploring the methodologies of indigenous studies. So, welcome, Aya. We are thrilled to have you here on the show today.
Thank you.
So, if you could just start us off with a quick background sketch about indigenous Taiwanese peoples, whom many of our listeners will not be knowing that much about.
Inabayan, di Aya Tumadras ko, gema Taiwan ko. So, hello everyone. My name is Ayah Madas. I am also known with my Chinese name Hong Zhongzhi. Later, I will tell you about why I am prefer to be named with these two names simultaneously. And yes, in Taiwan, we do have indigenous peoples. We are not so well known by the international world because that the Chinese influence in Taiwan has been, decades, and that really impact our life. So indigenous peoples in Taiwan are a part of what we call Austronesian, who inhabited in Asia Pacific islands. Also Indonesia and those Asian Pacific islands. So nowadays, in Taiwan, we have 16 tribes recognized by the government. We used to have more before those colonial settlers came. But after those kind of, you know, assimilation policies, who still remain our culture, part of our culture, part of our oral history, and who still have someone who can speak that language, are now recognized by the government. So there are totally 16 tribes or groups. So my tribe, my group named Binu Yumayan. This is a very small tribe that located in the eastern part of Taiwan. So in to talk about how big is the group of those indigenous peoples in Taiwan, we only account for around 2% of the total population of Taiwan. So it will be around 550,000 total of us in these 16 tribes. So in my tribe, we have only around 10,000 people, but we are not the smallest. The smallest tribe has only like 200 something, like only few hundred. So that's the basic background about the indigenous peoples in Taiwan. We were there. We have been in the island, according to those archaeologists' researches. We have been inhabiting in the island since at least 6,500 years ago. So you may be very curious. So what happened during those, you know, past few thousand years? Because we indigenous peoples are like many other indigenous peoples in the world. We don't have texts. We don't have characters. So our history were only passed on by oral history. So it's really hard to tell people that how long we have been there and what had happened before. But anyway, according to the archaeologists' research, we have been inhabiting in the island for at least 6,500 years. But now, just recently, there are some new findings that claim that indigenous peoples might live there like 10,000 years ago. So they are still trying to find out more evidence to figure out how long that we indigenous people have been living in the island. Currently, indigenous people in Taiwan, we don't have like independent indigenous council. We are not like the First Nations Council here in Canada, but we do have a state government labeled Indigenous Peoples Council. But this council is under the whole government institution. So it seems like that we have been having our own people, indigenous people, working in the Indigenous Peoples Council in the government level. But in many ways, because it is included, it is a part of the government institution. So we have quite a lot of limitations. So that is why many of us are struggling with getting back our identities, with our by re-recognizing our culture, revitalizing our languages and so on. So one thing I want to mention here before we go to the next part. Many of our indigenous people, like many other indigenous peoples in the world, that we don't really speak our language, our mother tongue. My English is better than my mother tongue. Yeah, I'm sorry to say that, but because of a very strict one language policy that practiced since 1950 to late of the 1990s, by that government at that time, not the current government, by a nationalist government came. So that really disturbed us to pass on our culture. So we are now in struggling to how to revitalize our culture. Many people in the world thought that indigenous peoples in Taiwan may have more resources in terms of economy. I cannot deny that, but we have more different struggles that later on I can share that really prevent us from re-recognizing we as indigenous peoples. Yeah.
This has been a wonderful, very clear overview. And I have one question. In the United States and in Canada, there is, for many indigenous people, First Nations, there is a sense, the knowledge that they were pushed off their original lands. And some of them still are on their original lands. Others are working to get back more control of original lands. How does this apply to your situation in Taiwan?
Yeah, for sure it happened in Taiwan. Yeah, if people happen to know that Taiwan is an island, which is really small, it's around the size of the Vancouver Island in Canada, and with a very big population, we have 23.5 million people. Of course, I already say that we indigenous people accounts only 2%. So you can image that the other 95% are Mandarin Chinese people from mainland China. And the Chinese people immigrated to Taiwan a large number of Chinese people immigrated to Taiwan since around 400 years ago. So when they came, they chased away, they kicked out those indigenous people on we call plain area. We have more plain areas on the west part of the island, and my tribe is on the eastern part. So when Qing dynasty of the China lose the war with the Japanese empire in 1895, in order to cease the fire, the Qing dynasty handed over Taiwan, this small island, to Japan. So when Japan came, they again, those people, they like the plain area because it's much easier to get living, right? So they chase away our indigenous people more deeply to the mountains. And, or they just, took the better land of our plain area indigenous peoples and re-educated them to become Japanese. So in this kind of policy, and also because of the Chinese settlers came before like 400 or 500 years ago, indigenous people's land were taken. We don't have that kind of theory saying that the land has no people living on that, so no one processed that. But the Chinese people, how they did was, they ride horses, and then they took a very long string. So as long as the horse, the string can reach, so as big as the land that they would occupy. So that's on the plain area. So indigenous people, for the plain area, indigenous people, they, most of them have been assimilated into the Chinese Han culture. Only very few tribes, they were able to find some evidence that they used to live, to prove that they used to exist, only like less than 5 tribes there, but they can't get They cannot get back their land anymore because there are no documents to prove that this land used to be their land. So similar situations for the eastern part of indigenous people. When the Chinese settlers came, they also did the same way. The other occasion, the other situation will be like this. When the colonial government came, they claimed that most mountain areas, you remember that I said the Chinese settler chased away indigenous people to other areas. So if people happen to know that There are a lot of mountains in the central part of this island, Taiwan. So most of the indigenous people were chased away, kicked out into the mountains. But when Japanese government came, they wanted to control the island. So the claim, claim those indigenous people's traditional territories as national land. So the lands of the king. So in this sense, indigenous people couldn't, possess the land ourselves. And we don't actually have the individual's right to possess the land for indigenous people like other indigenous people in the world. The land belongs to the community. So that make a lot of conflict in between the Japanese colonist government and the indigenous people. And then the later on colonist government, the Kuomintang, KMT, that nationalist from China, they followed what the Japanese government's land policy was. So they also claimed that most of the indigenous territories are a part of the national land. We call national land, maybe it can be the government land, something like that. So nowadays, until now, most of our indigenous people cannot, or let me put it in this way, most of the indigenous community, we cannot possess our indigenous traditional territories land. So, and this is a big issue.
So in this crunch between all of these different foreign empires and colonists, what happened to your culture? It's obvious that you became dispossessed of your land, but what happened to your culture?
That's another good question. Yeah. Let me put it in this way. In the past 400 years, that's the most serious period of time for the Taiwanese indigenous encountering colonialism. But the more serious, not one, but two, were Japanese and the KMT, Kuomintang from China. So, but in some ways, when Japanese Empire came, they, at the very beginning, they did not really want to make Taiwanese, including indigenous people, they did not want us to be a part of the Japanese citizen. So they were not really strict, but they were really, in my grandmom's words, Japanese were really kind. Because Japanese came to develop this whole island. They set up schools, medications, and also, railway. The railway, going around the island was, built up at the very beginning by Qing Dynasty, but they only did a little bit. When Japanese government came, the Japanese government wanted to make a long island circle, kind of like we call circle island railway. But of course, Japanese exploited Taiwan a lot. They took away our goats, pot, very good woods, and also our elites, very, smart peoples. But, the Japanese government did not strictly forbid us to speak our language. So there are some policies that we indigenous, not only indigenous, all Taiwanese people have to learn Japanese because that's the official language and the language taught in the school. But that's all. The language was able to preserve because the Japanese government did not really, intervene our family life. Yeah. But because I studied in the religious studies, the indigenous religious practices were not so seriously, stopped by the Japanese government as well. We still practice partially our traditional ceremonies under the Japanese Empire's colonialization. But when the KMT came, if people happen to know the history, KMT wanted to fight back to the Communist Party in China to get back their land in China. So when KMT came, they wanted us to all become supporter of this civilized world. So there's one language policy and also some community relocation, you know, that happened. So I may say that nowadays you can see most of indigenous people don't speak our language very well, and we don't really know our oral history. So it's a lot of things happen, and we are coming to rebuild our own identity. So that's quite hard. Yeah.
So thanks, and you've brought us up to close to the present day since the Kuomintang took over Taiwan in 1949, and we'll pick it up when we come back from break, and we'll go from there. Thank you.
Rights for nature? Around the globe, indigenous communities, governments, and environmental groups are realizing that human rights aren't enough to protect the planet. They're passing laws that recognize rivers, forests, and mountains as having rights of their own, rights that include the right of those ecosystems to exist and flourish. These actions are beginning to make a real difference. Find out more about this work by visiting the Center for Democratic and Environmental Rights webpage at centerforenvironmentalrights.org.
Period poverty. If you don't know what it is, you should, because you can help. One in four American women struggled to purchase menstruation products this year, resulting in missed school and even loss of income. The Native American women's nonprofit, Kwek Society, cares enough to give Native American students and communities their period products, and they do it across North America. Please help women with your time, donations, or supplies to maintain their dignity and celebrate their strength during moon time. Visit kweksociety.org. That's K-W-E-K Society.
Listen up. The source for information and inspirational items about the struggle and wisdom of indigenous people is the Syracuse Cultural Workers. They are committed to peace, sustainability, social justice, feminism, and multiculturalism, and they create beautiful visual materials like calendars, t-shirts, cards, and more, including their Greetings and Thanks to the Natural World according to poster that offers daily grounding for our relationship to the earth and its many fellow beings. Get so many wonderful items. Go there now. SyracuseCulturalWorkers.com.
Randy Krakowski's book, Without Reservation, describes his spiritual awakening as a Native American. It's a powerful, life-changing story where Randy shares his journey into the realm of ancestral Native American connections and explores his encounters with Mother Earth. The book actually helps you how to reconnect with your ancestors to rekindle your access to ancestral wisdom and nature. Available in print, ebook, and audiobook format, Get Without Reservation by Randy Krakowski from all major booksellers. For more information, visit Randy Krakowski.
Citizen Potawatomi Nation's Cultural Heritage Center, located near Shawnee, Oklahoma, features 11 immersive galleries with digital and interactive exhibits. Visitors learn about the tribe's history from origin to modern days and gain an understanding of Citizen Potawatomi oral traditions and lifeways. Admission is always free. Open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Visit the Cultural Heritage Center on the web at PotawatomiHeritage.com.
Welcome back to Indigenous Perspectives. We're talking with our guest today, Aya Demolatas, about her experiences as an indigenous Taiwanese woman. So Aya, can you pick up the struggle for indigenous cultural dignity moving into the present and the growth of some other influences in addition to the Chinese and Japanese?
I just briefly talk about the influence from the Japanese and Chinese colonies government. And I want to mention another very strong influence, which is, I consider as a colonial influence from the West, which is Christianity, the Christian Church. So here, when I talk about Christianity in Taiwan, in the indigenous people's communities in Taiwan, there are two largest Christian group. One is the Catholic, and the other one is the Presbyterian Church. So we do have some other Christian churches in our indigenous community, but they are not considered the majority or the primary Christian denomination. So just we can bear in mind this. So there was a case in 2018. Let me explain this with two stories. In 2018, in one of the annual harvest festival in the Amis tribe, Banza tribe, one of the indigenous tribe in Taiwan, they call this harvest festival Ilixing. So during the preparation of the 2018 Ilixing, one of the committee member, a young man, he raised the issue, should we revive the commemoration services for our ancestor, which has been interrupted for 40 years. And his proposal, attracted to a lot of people's and really, many people disputed. They discuss and they even fight. So in that particular community, oh, I forgot to tell you where the story is, that happened in Fa Da'an community, Amis tribe, Banza tribe. So the Fa Da'an Presbyterian Church's leader, they stood up and then they show an official letter, which was an agreement that signed by the Fa Da'an community leaders and the Fa Da'an Presbyterian Church's leaders in 1976. I forgot the name, the year, I'm sorry, but around 40 years ago or 50 years ago. The agreement says that we should respect all kinds of religious backgrounds that our community people have, and we should stop the ancestral commemoration services. So this was a very huge thing to the Fa Da'an young people. As I already told you that during the Japanese and Kuomintang domination, they didn't want us to pass on our culture. So it's one of the way for the young people of Fa Da'an to get back their cultural identity and also the dignity of being a Banza. So they did not want to fight with the church, but they told church that, you know what? Because our ancestors were the center of the community, and our ancestors, without our ancestors, we couldn't be us now. So we should do this as we had done before. But the church kept saying that, you know, we are not all Christians, so we should stop those kind of religious practices that is pagan. So this induced a lot of discussions among not only the Banza tribe, but other indigenous Christian churches and indigenous local communities. Many people thought, including indigenous Christians, thought that, you know, that's the agreement that was signed, so we should follow. But for the younger generation, they found themselves hard to accept this idea because to memorize their ancestor is one of the ways they can reconnect it to the Banza heritage. So this is one thing that people for indigenous Christian thought that this is events, that incidents that we should overcome. We should tell them that if we went back to do this ritual, we are living away from God, you know, things like that. So this event also induced the Banzat Presbytery, the regional office, to hold some, if I'm not wrong, some they call conversation. You know, they call those indigenous Christian, Banzat Christian, come and talk. Yeah, and then they all even publish a manual, handbook, to teach indigenous Christian how to persuade others. Yeah, so, okay, so this is the story that in my church, oh, I forgot to say I'm also a Presbyterian, but I don't support this because I thought this is another form of colonialism. If we cannot recognize ourselves and our ancestors, how can we reconnect it to the very beginning when we were created? So I don't really fully support this concept. And, you know, in this Yili Xing, another story happened that's more precisely in Davalon. Yeah, very short. A woman who came together with me 2 years ago, we went to Yili Xing in Davalon, another community. So the opening day, because two of us were about to present the women's dance together, so she ran, you know, a bit late, before, like 5 minutes before the opening dance. And I saw her were, you know, wearing wrongly with her costume. I was so surprised because I don't belong to that tribe, but I know how to dress as a Banzat woman because my husband is a Banzat, so I attend their Yili Xing. But this woman dressed in the wrong way. So I reminded her, I said, sister, you put something wrongly. And then she was crying. She said that, oh my gosh, I didn't notice because my mom did not want me to come. My mom prayed for me to give me cleanness before I come to join because she thought I'm coming to an evil gallery. So, by the way, her families are the generations of indigenous Presbyterian Christians.
That's a really powerful story, Aya. We'll pick this right up again after the break. Everybody stay tuned.
Rights for nature? Around the globe, indigenous communities, governments, and environmental groups are realizing that human rights aren't enough to protect the planet. They're passing laws that recognize rivers, forests, and mountains as having rights of their own, rights that include the right of those ecosystems to exist and flourish. These actions are beginning to make a real difference. Find out more about this work by visiting the Center for Democratic and Environmental Rights webpage at centerforenvironmentalrights.org.
Randy Krakowski's book, Without Reservation, describes his spiritual awakening as a Native American. It's a powerful, life-changing story where Randy shares his journey into the realm of ancestral Native American connections and explores his encounters with Mother Earth. The book actually helps you how to reconnect with your ancestors to rekindle your access to ancestral wisdom and nature. Available in print, ebook, and audiobook format, Get Without Reservation by Randy Krakowski from all major booksellers. For more information, visit Randy Krakowski.
Located near Shawnee, Oklahoma, Citizen Potawatomi Nation is Potawatomi County's largest employer with a rich history and culture as a sovereign Native nation. Learn more about CPN by visiting its website, which includes information on services for members, tribal enterprises, government and constitution, the newspaper, and much more. All at potawatomi.org. That's P-O-T-A-W-A-T-O-M-I.org.
Period poverty. If you don't know what it is, you should, because you can help. One in four American women struggle to purchase menstruation products this year, resulting in missed school and even loss of income. The Native American Women's Nonprofit, Kwek Society, cares enough to give Native American students and communities their period products, and they do it across North America. Please help women with your time, donations, or supplies to maintain their dignity and celebrate their strength during moon time. Visit kweksociety.org. That's K-W-E-K Society.
Don't get angry. Anger is a negative emotion that suppresses your immune system that may cause health problems. Make a positive difference by working together to protect and support your family, friends, and community. Take a break from the dark side. Uplifting and enlightening. Listen to the positive side of podcasts. HRNradio.com.
Way high.
Welcome back to Indigenous Perspectives, and Aya is going to pick it back up with her stories of the stresses within the Indigenous Taiwanese communities.
Yeah, I just shared about the lady's stories in another community, Davalong, Ilixin. But I forgot to tell you that this is not my tribe story. I married to another tribal people. So my husband is from this tribe named Banja. And Banja tribe is the largest tribe in Taiwan. So their population is 220,000. It's like 22 times of my tribe. It's a very big tribe. And, anyway, so I went back 2 years ago. I participated in Ilixin in my husband's community in Davalong. That's the name of the community. And this lady was one of my partners. We worked together as a women's group who support to hold this 4 days, 3 nights Ilixin activity. It's a community activity. And Davalong is the largest community of Banja in Taiwan. So every year, there are more than 1,000 Davalong people coming back to this annual harvest festival, Ilixin. So that day, let me come back to the story. That day, my friends, let's just call her S. Yeah. So S was crying and telling me that her mother was praying for her to cleansing her before she came. Then I noticed that she was kind of like seeking for help. So I brought her to the changing room, and then we redress her traditional costume. Then she began to tell me the story. Oh, by the way, those stories, I already get their consensus. They are willing to share the stories. So S told me that because in her family, there are already 3 generations of Christians from the Presbyterian Church. Her mother never joined any annual Ilixin, and the church has been practicing a kind of like non-encouraging policy to their church members. So they don't say no. The church leaders, they didn't say no to Ilixin, but they never encourage. And if you told the church leaders, I want to join the annual Ilixin this year, the church leader will ask you, why? Why? So she told me about that story that she decided to go and then attend the Ilixin since a few years ago, but her family rejecting seriously to her decision. And she was really sad about that because she thought that a part of her indigenous identity should be from this traditional community gathering. So that was the story that she was crying, she redressed herself. But I thought that she was really brave. Even her family, all of her family, she has an elder brother who is a pastor in Presbyterian Church. So all of her family, you know, fight with her, but she, in the end, participated this whole 4 days, 3 nights event. And she was one of the hardest worker. I mean, together, we women were all the workers to, you know, prepare and to hold that event together. And then I interviewed her later on. Then I found that it was a longer, I mean, the story go back to longer when her grandparents converted to Christianity. One of the focus and the main focus of my PhD research is how the Christianity impact on the life of indigenous women in Taiwan. So Ban Zhao tribe is a matriarchal tribe in tradition, which does not mean women dominated the tribe, no, but the women of Ban Zhao were really highly respected by their family and the community. So women, usually in this tribe, women manage the family economy, and also the kinship. Yeah, the family kinship usually follows the mother side, so it's a matrilineal society. But I was really surprised to hear from S that when she talked to me that her father was one of the family member who strongly, you know, rejected her proposal to attend any we call traditional ceremonies in the community. Oh, by the way, S is the only family member among her family who now currently live in the community. Only S who live in the community, other of her family member now live in the urban area. So then I interviewed her. I asked her about what's the transformation, what are the changes from your grandmom's time to you. And because she's also a very dedicated Christian. So when I tried to ask her, what do you think are the impact of the church to your life? She told me that, oh, you know what? Yeah, we do have very good tradition, traditional practices when we were under the matriarchal family system before. But because we are now all Christian, so we are, in her turn, kind of like we are educated. We are encouraged to live in a new way. We are a newborn person. So you may be very curious, so what happened to her? Why did she talk to me in this way? Because I found out that in her family, when her grandparents converted to Christianity, I found that her grandfather began to practice the authority in the family, which has not been a traditional practice before in this tribe. So I asked her about this. And then she said, we are not all Christians. So we are a newborn person. We live in the new ways.
So is it fair to summarize the new ways as being more male-dominated within the family?
Yeah, for me, I believe so. But not only as, you know, I can say that most of the interviewees that I had worked together 2 years ago, most of them, all of them are Christian, and most of them, they avoid to use the word that we now follow the men-dominated principles. They avoid to use any words to indicate that. Yeah, but they, in some ways, set a new way of living, which I can say like a man lead the family, like the man is the head of family, like the Jesus is the head of the church, something like that. They all agree.
So thanks. We need to take another break, and everybody stay tuned.
Rights for nature? Around the globe, indigenous communities, governments, and environmental groups are realizing that human rights aren't enough to protect the planet. They're passing laws that recognize rivers, forests, and mountains as having rights of their own, rights that include the right of those ecosystems to exist and flourish. These actions are beginning to make a real difference. Find out more about this work by visiting the Center for Democratic and Environmental Rights webpage at centerforenvironmentalrights.org.
Period poverty. If you don't know what it is, you should, because you can help. One in four American women struggle to purchase menstruation products this year, resulting in missed school and even loss of income. The Native American Women's Nonprofit, Kwek Society, cares enough to give Native American students and communities their period products, and they do it across North America. Please help women with your time, donations, or supplies to maintain their dignity and celebrate their strength during moon time. Visit kweksociety.org. That's K-W-E-K Society.
Listen up. The source for information and inspirational items about the struggle and wisdom of indigenous people is the Syracuse Cultural Workers. They are committed to peace, sustainability, social justice, feminism, and multiculturalism, and they create beautiful visual materials like calendars, t-shirts, cards, and more, including their Greetings and Thanks to the Natural World according poster that offers daily grounding for our relationship to the earth and its many fellow beings. Get so many wonderful items. Go there now. SyracuseCulturalWorkers.com.
Randy Krakowski's book, Without Reservation, describes his spiritual awakening as a Native American. It's a powerful, life-changing story where Randy shares his journey into the realm of ancestral Native American connections and explores his encounters with Mother Earth. The book actually helps you how to reconnect with your ancestors to rekindle your access to ancestral wisdom and nature. Available in print, ebook, and audiobook format, Get Without Reservation by Randy Krakowski from all major booksellers. For more information, visit Randy Krakowski.
Citizen Potawatomi Nation's Cultural Heritage Center, located near Shawnee, Oklahoma, features 11 immersive galleries with digital and interactive exhibits. Visitors learn about the tribe's history from origin to modern days and gain an understanding of Citizen Potawatomi oral traditions and lifeways. Admission is always free. Open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Visit the Cultural Heritage Center on the web at PotawatomiHeritage.com.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Indigenous Perspectives, and Ayah is going to pick up her story of S and then move along to talk about language revitalization currently going on. So over to you, Ayah.
Yeah, thank you. So the end of the S stories was that I tried so hard to ask her if there are some negative impact from the Christian church to her family. But she was telling me that, you know what, we are now reborn person. We have new life. So she told me that she has been very happy and grateful to be Christian. So this really happened to my research when I interview other indigenous Christians, including Catholics. Most of them told me that they are so grateful the church came to help them. And I tried so hard to ask them if there are some impact from the church that really do something negatively to their families, but they tried very hard. They tried very hard to avoid that the church, in fact, influence the family structures of the Bantu tribe. And most of them now follow what the Bible teaches. The man is the head of the family, as the Jesus is the head of the church, something like that. So this also connected in some parts to the revitalization movement or project in Taiwan, because most of the attendees, I mean, who attend church services in indigenous churches are women. And since we began to have our so-called revitalization movement in early 2000, indigenous people in Taiwan were guided by the Indigenous People's Council of the state. I know it's very different from what happened here in Canada. So my First Nation friends in Canada say that he envy about our situation, because our revitalization movement is guided and also financially funded by the government. Yeah, but he didn't notice that we are also, you know, limited by the government policy. So the church found that this is an opportunity to, you know, cooperate with the state government because of the funding. And then we can, you know, in some ways to expand our mother tongue language projects. Yeah, for your information, nowadays in Taiwan, the indigenous churches using our indigenous languages in our Sunday services. All different tribes speaking in different languages, in their own languages, in their Sunday services. However, we found a very big gap, because the younger generation, as I told you, I don't speak mother tongue, so how can I understand the service? So many churches began to have this kind of, we call bilingual. Yeah, the pastor speak in the mother tongue, and then someone, or the pastor translate to Mandarin Chinese. So church has been doing this language revitalization project by our own. And now, just last year or the year before, the government, Indigenous People's Council, Council of Indigenous People, CIP, they found this opportunity as well, because they got a lot of funds. And they need to do this kind of, you know, a community language revitalization project. So they came and then cooperated with our indigenous church leaders. So they, you know, designed this kind of project. And as I just said, that many of the attendees in the church services are women. So most of these projects are run by the pastor of the church and their women members. So you may ask me, so what's the difference if the women join this kind of program? I would say that in this very patriarchal church institution, it's another evidence to prove that women, the female members of the church, are mostly the human powers only. Because the projects usually designed by the leaders of the church, and we have less female leaders in our local churches. But all people who are executors this projects are female church members. So there are many different kind of evidence to show that this very patriarchal church institution influencing the indigenous women's life and so on. So you may ask me, so why are you here? You are indigenous women here in Canada and doing research on indigenous Taiwanese, not the First Nations. Why are you here? This is something very sad to say. I'm myself is also a Presbyterian, and it would be very hard for me to do this kind of research in the island in Taiwan, because in many ways that we indigenous people are so much in love with Western missionary when they came to Taiwan. I cannot deny those missionaries did a lot of good jobs. They supported us. They set up education institutions and medication systems and so on and so on. The first for your information, the first school in Taiwan was set up by the Dutch Protestant Church, a missionary from Dutch Protestant Church. So it is really hard for me to talk about and to criticize how the patriarchal culture of the church has been impacting the indigenous women's life in the island in Taiwan. If I study there, I might have less supporters. And the other thing is that it's really also sad to say that because if I got a degree abroad, I would have the right to speak because I'm a layperson, a woman, indigenous, and if I don't have the PhD degree, how can I talk to my church and the society? So, but anyway, I think the First Nation friends here and the government of Canada really, you know, in many ways, and then School of Religious Studies at McGill really supports me in many ways. And thank God I'm here.
Wow.
Well, Aya, this is a very powerful statement. I'm sorry to be ending our program, but our time is up. So thank you so very much for everything you've given us in this program. We really appreciate all of your insights. And we'll be in touch with you as your future moves forward.
So, Aya, in my Potawatomi language, miigwech is thank you. So, you know, I want to express my gratitude in my native language. And I want to say to those who are listening, I hope this broadcast has given you time and space to reconnect with your roots and Mother Earth. Before your busy day distracts you from this moment, we encourage you to reach out and feel the presence of living flora and fauna, animate kin, and perhaps even that of your ancestors and others who have walked along. Allow yourself to touch their presence, capture that moment, and hold on to it.
And write to Randy, let him know about your experiences or with any questions or suggestions for these shows. Randy can be reached at his email, randykwiatkowski@hushmail.com, or through his website, which is www.randykwiatkowski.com. Miigwech.